You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Coming up on today's show, we give Andy Reid's case for best head coach of all time. We look at where it went wrong for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. We take some fan questions and so much more on this Hawk and Juju two-man gang episode of the Tomahawk Show.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Now, most of you have been playing this game for 10 years. You got two more quarters. And after that, most of you will never play this game again.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun. You sure?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the world-famous Tomahawk Show, presented by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. As always, I am your host, Andrew Hawkins, typically joined by my partner in crime, Joe Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is not here. Also, typically joined by the first lady of Tomahawk Show, Fat Nat, storied 49er fan. What a coincidence. She is not here. But the guy who will never let us down, Wade Cross's favorite son, my dog, Juju Gotti, is in the building. Juju, what's happening, bro? How you feeling today?
What up, my brother? I'm feeling good. Fantastic. After a long week of Vegas, it's still on me a little bit. But hey, here we are.
Hey, Super Bowl in Vegas was wild. You know what's crazy? Like, typically when there's the Super Bowl, and I've been to, I think, 15 Super Bowls in a row. Not the game, but like the city. I've gone to the game a couple times. Man. But anytime the Super Bowl comes to town, it typically takes over the city. This was the first time I kind of felt like Vegas consumed the Super Bowl a little bit. Like, it didn't feel like we were there for the Super Bowl. It felt like we were in Vegas and the Super Bowl was also visiting Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, one out of every 20 people cared about the game.
Yes, bro. It was completely different. It threw me back a little bit. It also wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be. Right. I thought it would be like bananas. I got into town, I think, Thursday morning or Wednesday evening, but I first went out Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, it didn't get nuts until like Friday night. And typically when the Super Bowl is in the city, from like Tuesday on, it's kind of like, yo, the NFL is here. I don't know if you felt that same way, Juju.
Bro, I was in the streets. Like, salute to everybody in Meadowlark Media involved. But we have, like, all those guys are like dads, newly married, and go to sleep by 6 p.m. on East Coast time. So I had my fun breaking away from them, you know what I mean? All due respect. And I say at a certain time of night, it got popping, but up until that time of night, it was just regular days in Vegas.
Regular days in Vegas. I did not get to visit the Le Batard and Friends show set, and I didn't get an invite, and I ran into Juju, and they were like, where you coming through? I'm like, coming through where, Juju? I didn't get no information. I didn't get a call. I didn't get a text. I didn't get an email. They ain't send no pigeon message, no nothing. Damn. So I'm just in Vegas. Solo dolo running the streets, Juju. Is that who do I pick the bone with?
I say
you pick the buck.
First of all, I got a good brother. He is such a good brother. His name is Carl Scott. I see you point the finger at him first and foremost.
Number one, okay.
And then you holler at Dan Le Batard because he gonna rectify the situation.
He gonna rectify the situation. All right.
Because he probably thought you were invited and didn't even know that you weren't. And you know what I mean? Because it was a lot of love out there. Like, oh my god.
It was
goodness.
A lot of love.
It was a lot of love. So I know he would have loved to have you there, bro. They had the Tomahawk promo though going the whole time.
Big screen way. And I couldn't even see it. Well, look, we were there for the Super Bowl. I forget who did you pick? Did you pick the Niner gang? Or did you pick the Chiefs?
Bro, I picked on here I picked one team, Bam Bam Niner gang. Over there I picked the Chiefs. I was right somewhere. Somebody find
you
it
for me. Flip-flop so much. I could not find what your actual pick was. Well, I know for sure I picked the Chiefs, and the Chiefs did come through. Patrick Mahomes did what Patrick Mahomes has typically done, and they won back-to-back Super Bowls. They are cemented as one of the football dynasties in NFL history, which is crazy. It's their third Super Bowl in 4 years after a repeat matchup with the 49ers. They played them a couple of years ago. With this latest victory of Mahomes, Reed, and Kelce, in your opinion, where does that place them as far as some of the great teams we've seen recently? Now, we obviously know the Patriots or anywhere that Tom Brady has touched down. I would throw the Cowboys in there as one of the dynasties of the recent generation. Who else? I mean, there's a couple of them. What was your feel after the game watching them hoist another Lombardi trophy?
I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they just feel inevitable. You know what I mean? It's like Michael Jordan. It's like Steph Curry, that one run. It's something about this Chiefs team that for some reason, no matter what it looked like, it's greatness under the surface. So I think that this puts them, dare I say, I can't put them over Brady because Brady got so many rings.
I don't know, bro.
But I would say the eye test, I see that Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady ever was in his entire career. Because he had Randy Moss in them. The good year that Tom Brady had, they lost in the Super Bowl. And so I think that Tom Brady has been surpassed, but the history books and all the rings, I don't know. I don't know how the purists will count that.
It's hard to say. I'm such a Tom Brady fan. He is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. But sometimes you just got to believe your eyes. Like when I was watching that game, there was never a point in the game where I thought Patrick Mahomes was going to lose. And even coming into the game, when I was on all Radio Row and all the shows, I was like, look, the 49ers are a better football team.
Yeah.
They will not win this game. You have to have everything go right for you and be mistake-free and still hope for an act of God to beat Patrick Mahomes. For whatever reason, he is just great at giving you whatever is left. And I don't want to make it seem like he was the only one who bought out. But to your point, he was inevitable. Kelce, a 34-year-old tight end, past his physical prime, was inevitable. The fact that they went through this season with like pedestrian receivers, I could have been out there playing wide receiver. I haven't worked out.
This just not years. Go that far.
No, Jude, you got to hear me out here. I could have been out there with my cholesterol as high as it is, as a 38-year-old man who has not worked out in 7 months, and they still would have won the Super Bowl because they have it where it matters most. And that defense, this is a year that the defense has actually held their weight. Well, typically in past years, the Chiefs defense has been the weakness that we've talked about leading up to these really big games. But like that being said, for someone like Spagnuolo who could go into that game, like the astounding thing for me is like we talk about how much he's a great defense coordinator, his in-game not only preparation, but adjustments in the middle of the game.
Right.
But he's really playing with house money because he knows all I have to do is be aggressive. If they score or don't score, I have a quarterback on the other side of the ball who is going to go down and get points. Yeah. So it's only upside. I can send pressures. I can send blitzes. I can, you know, just call plays like I'm playing Madden because push come to shove, 15 is going to get us what we need to get. So, I again, hats off to Spagnuolo and the game plan he put together. But there is a level of just aggression that he's able to play with because he has number 15 on the other side.
Right. And they made the 49ers made like one or two mistakes, and the Chiefs pounced and capitalized on both of them. Punt, bow, off the buddy, off buddy foot, instantly his next play touchdown. The block field goal, you see how it happened, overtime. He did. So I think that they've cemented themselves in the dynasty history for sure.
And here's again, and this is very on par with Tom Brady. There were times when, like, again, the sentiment around Tom Brady is anybody could play receiver with him. And the best quarterbacks, the elite quarterbacks in our history, have that kind of skill because the quarterback, you should be getting paid so much that, yes, we can put anybody out there because we can't pay any other high-level players if we're paying you as much as we are. And very rarely are quarterbacks good enough to make that argument. Like, they can still win without any talent on the side. I'm not going to say these guys don't have talent because that's disrespectful to NFL football players. But at the same time, we know what the conversation has been all year around the receiving core, them dropping passes, them fumbling, them not being able to line up on sides and what have you. Mecole Hardman, the Jets just gave them to the Chiefs. Right. He was giving nothing to them. They were like, yeah, whatever, go back. It won't matter. And what happens? He ends up scoring receiving the biggest pass from Patrick Mahomes during the game and the game-winning touchdown in overtime for the Chiefs. That
number
is
12, too. Number 12, it's kind of funny seeing Miko with number 12. I don't know. It looked kind of lame. Him and Darren Waller got number 12.
It really is crazy, man. So when I think about the Tom Brady conversation, I still feel like Tom is the GOAT, but I do feel like it's a 1A, 1B type of thing. Because even if Patrick Mahomes retired tomorrow and he only has 3 Super Bowls to Tom Brady's 7, the level of dominance that he's had and the amount of time that he's had it, that means something.
Right.
You know, like if it, like there has to be some kind of scale to say, well, look, he's only been a starter in the league for 6 seasons. Right. In those 6 seasons, he's never had a season where he wasn't in the AFC Championship. And only 2 seasons he wasn't in the Super Bowl, and only half of the season he hasn't won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady played 21 years. If we try to get into an apples to apples comparison, he would have had to win 10 Super Bowls in those 21 years.
Yeah.
Plus, to equate what Patrick Mahomes is doing, because I really think Patrick Mahomes' career is going to scale this way. Now, we'll see what happens with no Andy Reid. But again, We could see the dominance that we're seeing. It's been that way from the very beginning. And if it wasn't for an offsides penalty, probably his first year starting, he probably would have 5 Super Bowls, which would be even crazier. So my question
is like,
go ahead.
I think it's like the comparison, like in hip hop, Jay-Z versus Tupac and Biggie. Like Jay-Z did it for 20, 30 years. You feel me? Still doing it. And Biggie and them had that little short run, but they run was so amazing that bro, folks still wearing Tupac t-shirts. Folks still getting Biggie small tattoos. So it's like that impact is worth mentioning. You did, man.
Yeah, it's felt. All right, so let's go to the coaching. Where does Andy Reid sit for you all time as a head coach?
Ah, man, who's the top? Who's it? Was Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick.
Lambeau.
I would say Lambeau. Tom Landry probably up there.
Man, I feel like Andy Reid done surpassed most of them. Everybody except Bill, I think Andy Reid done passed now. And it's unfair. He got Patrick Mahomes. I get it. But he putting it together. These, like you said, these teams ain't necessarily strong at receiver. They, as years, they've been less than at defense, on the defensive side of the ball. And either way it goes, he coaches them boys and gets them boys motivated. You see, everybody was mad. Hey, how you gonna let Travis Kelce bump you like that in the game? How you gonna let him yell in your face? Hey, man, they got their own dynamic, man. He know how to handle that. They friends.
You didn't feel anything about that? That didn't make you feel a way? And we said Lambeau. It's Lombardi, by the way. I don't know. I'm just going along.
His close friends call him Lambeau. That's what they
Lambeau. That's what
he
we
drove
used to call him,
a Lamborghini.
Cause I used to play for him. That's how old I am. So we used to call him Coach Lambeau. That Vegas is still wearing tearing on me. But you didn't feel nothing when you seen Kelce going off. You know, actually, we'll get to that conversation later in another. I don't want to step on the toes of that topic. So you have Andy Reid above everybody except Bill Belichick.
Yeah, at this juncture, yeah, because he's still going.
I'll give you another one. I would say I can make the argument that Andy Reid is above Bill Belichick. And here's why, or at least the trajectory. I would say here's what Andy Reid would have to do to cement himself as above Bill Belichick to me. If he wins another one next year, a three-peat with Patrick Mahomes next year, that'll be his 4th Super Bowl. I think what Belichick has 6 as a head coach. And it would be the same argument that we just talked with Tom Brady. But here is the differentiator for me. If you look at Andy Reid's resume outside of Patrick Mahomes, and you look at Bill Belichick's resume outside of Tom Brady, it pales in comparison.
Damn.
Reid has been in Super Bowls. He's been in multiple NFC championships with multiple quarterbacks.
Right.
He is like cemented as a great coach no matter what. But any incredible coach always is going to have a player they point to. Belichick's legacy is tied to Tom Brady. Doesn't mean he's not an incredible coach. He is. Doesn't mean that that should be a discredit for him. It shouldn't. But when you're comparing him and Andy in an apples-to-apples scenario, because if Andy re-coaches for the next 8 years, no matter how old he is, if he has Patrick Mahomes, he's going to win at least 3 more Super Bowls. That is a fact of the matter, man. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that. But when you look at their resume, outside of their generational talent for each of them, Andy Reid's resume, it shits on Belichick. All respect to Belichick, but I'm just being honest.
I'm converted. Like you be putting stuff in ways that I don't even ever think about it. Then when you put it there, I jump on right on your butt. So yeah, I'm with you, brother.
rock with me. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about another coach in the Super Bowl and what this game may have meant for his legacy.
Drop the bass. DJ.
Welcome back to the Tomahawk Show. We are talking the Super Bowl with Juju Gotti. Here, I am your host, Andrew Hawkins, a.k.a. Hawk, as always. Look, so we've seen the 49ers take the L against Patrick Mahomes. And, of course, the conversation is going to be around everything that the 49ers did wrong. Specifically in this game, people were up in arms around Coach Kyle Shanahan's decision to take the ball first in overtime, because they say it gave Patrick Mahomes an advantage because he went into that drive knowing what he needed to get, and it gave him essentially the thoughts that it was four down territory. So, Juju, you tell me, when you were watching the game and you hear the conversation, where do you fall on the spectrum as it pertains to Kyle Shanahan's in-game decision-making?
Bro, he just got to keep it real, bro. He got to admit, like, bro, I didn't know what was going on, because the more you dig this hole, you just digging deeper and deeper. We wanted the ball third. Bro, Patrick Mahomes over there, you might not even get the ball second if you mess around with that boy. So I think him, Juszczyk, everybody, they in the same boat we was, bro. I didn't know what was going on while the game was at. I can admit it. I seen the clock ticking down, 9. I'm like, what is happening? Because I wasn't listening to Tony Romo. Tony Romo, for me, bro, it's hard for me to listen to Tony Romo over.
Why? Why Tony Romo taking shots, man? What do he do?
Tony Romo need to calm down sometimes. He be, oh, Jim. And I don't like his energy sometimes. So I muted his ass. So I'm looking at the game like, what is happening? These boy got comfort, supreme confidence. So long story short, Kyle Shanahan, keep it real, bro. You ain't know what was going on. That's my opinion. And the more you try to lie, not like you was trying to have another plan. Nah, bro, come on home, bro. It's all right. You lost the Super Bowl. Yeah, bro.
You just messed up. Look, I actually don't mind the decision to take the ball first. Here's why. If in the event, the more concerning thing was that other players didn't know the rules, right? And I didn't know the rules either, so I'm not pointing the finger, but I'm also not playing in the Super Bowl, so whatever. Exactly. But the fact that the players didn't know the rules is more of an issue than his decision to take the ball first. You know, you could say, okay, I wanted the ball third if we score or whatever, but I would also say that some players play better without the pressure on them.
Right, right.
And if Mahomes goes down there and scores, maybe Brock Purdy in this offense isn't as smooth. There are teams, there are players that play better whenever the heat is not on. So in that respect, you got to know your team. I can't wait till players' biometric data becomes public, and that's like when you see players' heart rate and, you know, what's going on inside of them, like the game within the game, because as fans,
Terminator 3 is you talking about.
Yeah, God, man, you don't know. So basically you wear wearables like watches or, you know, things that we would put on our chest that would measure your heart rate in a moment. So Damn. It could tell you when somebody is feeling the pressure, and the people who are cold as ice, their heart rate and pressure don't rise in the craziest situation. So in that moment, we would be able to say like, yo, this dude is super nervous.
Right.
Absolutely. He can't play. He plays better when there's no pressure on them. That's a real thing. And that's like, again, the elements within the game, but we're probably a couple seasons away from that. But I was okay with the fact that they took the ball first to be aggressive. Okay. But like I said, I'm not okay with the fact that the players had no idea about the overtime rules. And in their mind, they were going to go down there, score a touchdown, and the game was going to be over. In the playoffs, with the new rule change, that is not the case.
I say third and four, though, their decision, that play that they backpedaling and all-out blitz almost at third and four, it doesn't seem like they was taking it as serious as I thought they would. Like, you supposed to call the play of your life in those situations. Even on fourth and four, that's Patrick Mahomes over there, bro. Like, I feel like Kyle could have schemed them boys a little bit differently, in my opinion, on the couch at home.
I don't know how you do it, though, man. I think that's the conundrum around Patrick Mahomes. I remember watching him on The Shop years ago after his first Super Bowl, and he told Bron and them that he's still learning how to read defenses. And everybody was like, oh, that's cap. But no, it wasn't, because you could even see the way he plays now versus then.
Yeah.
He knows, even when he's improvising, exactly where the ball goes. And there is just some players, like these elite players, who know a defense that well, and there's not a lot of them that could just have a natural feel. Like, if you've ever seen on the internet a baby who is 2 years old and knows how to read, or like a 3-year-old who can do like trigonometry, that's not something you can teach a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. They just, their brain composition in a perfect way was built for those things, mathematics or reading and comprehension. Like, it's just luck of the draw. Their brain waves and their mental makeup was perfectly composed for that. What I'm perfectly composed for is finding a hole in the defense. I can get the ball on my hand. I don't need to think about where I cut. I never have. Like, and there's some people that do that. When you get to the NFL level, most of those guys are like that. I just feel it. I know where the holes are going to be before they happen. And I so happen to have the quickness and speed to hit them, but it was just a feel thing always for me. Well,
you know what I'm perfectly composed for?
What you perfectly composed for, Jew?
Picking the shopping cart at Target without the squeaky wheel on it. I can sit there all day and find the right one.
Gifted. Gifted from an early age. So when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, he kind of has that. Like, everyone's like, well, why is he so good? He's not, you know, super, doesn't seem super athletic. He's, you know, he's built like a gas station attendant. Well, he's perfectly born and composed to be able to throw a football and know, just have a feel for where the holes in the defense are. There's not very many quarterbacks like that. I would say Joe Burrow is like that. CJ Stroud has that ability.
ROI.
Stafford sometimes, but there's just very, very few quarterbacks. Tom Brady obviously had it. Aaron Rodgers has it. Like, they just always, they just know.
I tell you who don't have it. I know who don't have it.
We got a long list of people that don't get it.
Desmond Ridder is the leader in that category. He ain't got it.
That's messed up. Well, like I said, so Patrick Mahomes, you can't really game plan for him. And even late in the game when it's 4-1, he's like, I'm just going to run it. And then he got that tick that, okay, they're not covering me. I'm just going to rush. That man rushed for 66 yards. It's like one of his best rushing games ever in the Super Bowl, simply because he knows, well, if you're taking this and this and this away, I know this is the answer. So until you guard this, I'm just going to do this. And once you try to take that away, I know where this hole opens back up. Most quarterbacks, even though they're NFL level, even though they might be incredible players, they don't have that in-game ability that Patrick Mahomes has. And so I'm reluctant. I feel like with Kyle Shanahan, the conversation, yes, team should have been prepared. Yes, man, you got to be perfect. But as we've watched him go through these moments, Tom Brady in the 28-3 lead, the last time he played Patrick Mahomes, these double-digit leads that he loses against these generational players, we're like just trying to find the littlest thing to point to of why the loss is there, when the actual answer is, and he kind of alluded to it in a post game, like, yo, it's Mahomes and Tom Brady. What the hell you expect me to do? If you know anybody out there that can do any better, please send them over, because what the hell can you do against these players? And I kind of feel the same way.
I know what you could do in the third quarter, run the damn ball. I mean, I'm from the couch. You know what I mean? From
I mean,
the couch.
Look, bro.
It was two consecutive three and outs passing.
There is like a, it's a damned if you do. I watch NFL Live and they talking about, yo, you needed to be more aggressive. Where was your big time plays? When he played Tom Brady against the Falcons, it was, why weren't you still throwing the ball? Why were you running the ball so much? Why were you being too aggressive? You were trying to do too, and it's you were too conservative. So you really are damned if you don't, damned if you do, because if he runs the ball and it doesn't work, you're not being aggressive enough, and you have to be aggressive against Mahomes. When he's trying to be aggressive, it's run the ball, man. This is the game. Just kill the clock. What are you doing? And that's the whole point I'm trying to make. I think Kyle Shanahan is an incredible coach. It's illustrated by how often he's in the NFC Championship and in the Super Bowl. But much like a lot of these quarterbacks in the AFC, in the NFC, like, Josh Allen would have been a Hall of Famer
too soon
already.
Too soon.
If he was born in another era. I'm sorry.
Too soon.
Joe Burrow, who knows what his career will be. I will say he's one of the few quarterbacks that stares down the barrel of the Pat Mahomes gun, and he don't flinch at all. So who knows what will happen. But any of these quarterbacks would have already had Super Bowls if Patrick Mahomes was 5 years younger or 5 years older. And Kyle Shanahan would be in a conversation with Andy Reid and start to be in a Bill Belichickian type conversation if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist. But that's the nature of the business.
I say if he would have been there, I think they would have won last year if Purdy didn't get hurt last year. I feel like they were more equipped to win last year, but neither here nor there. You say he damned if he do it, damned if he don't. I tell you when he's not damned, if he finds a way to get the job done and win a Super Bowl. So if he do that, then he won't be damned, and we'll get off his back.
Yeah, hopefully he can do that. How did you feel about Brock Purdy's game? You feel like Brock Purdy you know, a lot of conversation around Brock Purdy. Everybody act like he, you know, he was a plumber that they signed off the street, but I thought he played damn good in the Super Bowl.
Right. I think he didn't lose them the game, which is what you want. Like, he didn't throw the ball away. He didn't have any untimely fumbles. He didn't, like, make any bonehead decisions. I feel like he was great in that game. Maybe not great, but he did enough to win the game in that game. Mm-hmm. I don't blame him at all for anything.
So who do you blame? Who needed to play better in that game, in your opinion? Because it can't all be on Kyle Shanahan. That's the easy answer because he's the head coach. But
I mean, there were some times where I feel like Ayuk didn't get involved enough. So a lot of the stuff that was timing routes with Debo was thrown off by McDuffie and them boys. So it's like it was just a lot to compute. Like you said, Brock Purdy may not have that computer installed just yet, that Patrick Mahomes, and they threw him so many different looks that it was kind of – and then you got big Chris Jones in your face every – somebody, please, anybody, shoot him. So at some point – I think that the scheme around it was more valuable than the actual players in this scenario.
We needed him. We needed George Kittle to have a big game.
Right.
You needed Debo Samuel to have a big game. You needed Ayuk to have a big game. Yes. And the reality is, for all the conversation around Brock Purdy and them saying how he has so much talent that's around him and that's the reason for his success, he kind of was one of the only people to bring his A game. And I would say McCaffrey, obviously McCaffrey balled out and – you know, we probably need a heavier dose of him. And Jennings.
Jennings was Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, he was on his way.
Oh, my God.
He was on his way. He was definitely on his way. The green law, when the green law thing happened, that's when I was like, okay, this just ain't their day. The fact that this happens in this way, in the Super Bowl, if this would have happened on any other field, everyone would be talking about, this is why we got to get rid of the turf. I don't even know. If that is grass, is the Vegas field grass?
Yeah, it was grass. It was outside.
It has to be. You know how I know it's grass? Because I didn't see it. I didn't see a single tweet from anybody saying about how the NFL doesn't care about their players and they need to change the surfaces. Could you imagine if that took place on turf, bro?
Oh my God, they would have been calling the
Roger Goodell fire. Would still be in jail today, bro. They would have gave him life without parole in a 5-day period. In Vegas, we would be fighting. I would be out marching right now for Roger Goodell to get him out of prison. So I don't know. I mean, I'm the wrong person to talk to because I always feel like that conversation is overstated by a bunch of people who it don't matter if you play on turf or grass. You was probably going to tell your Achilles anyway because you ain't that level of athlete. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into one of our favorite segments, Facts or Cap. Welcome back to the Tomahawk Show. It's time to get into a little facts or cap. It's a segment where me and Juju will go through a topic, give the background on the topic, and pose it as a statement and ask, is this facts or is this cap? And if you have been living under a rock, cap means that is lie, that is false, that shit ain't real. All right, Juju, get us started. Super Bowl edition of Facts or Cap.
Also, if you've been living under a rock, I'm not as great as a reader as Queen Fat Nat.
We ain't gotta qualify that, man. You read it how you read it, Juju.
All right. The Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, benched Kadarius Toney, and won back-to-back Super Bowls. Facts or cap? It doesn't matter who's receiving. Mahomes is gonna find a way.
Yes, that is facts, but only for Mahomes. So if you are other teams out there, please don't take the bait. Please do not go into this free agency letting your number one and number two receivers walk, not drafting wide receivers early, feeling like, oh, you don't really need a big-time receiver to win a Super Bowl. Now, I do agree. You don't need a number one, pay him $50 million a year guy, but that means your quarterback has to be that guy, and that means your receiving core as a whole has to have a chemistry, and your old coordinator better be a top two guy. If you don't have all of those things, pay that man. Pay that man or you're going to be fired. You're going to be on an unemployment line. You are going to be on Black Monday in a very, very soon because you don't have the most important part of that equation, which is Patrick Mahomes. The fact that he won a Super Bowl is crazy. Yes, his receiving core probably ranks in the bottom five in a lot of categories, but he is the best quarterback, most talented quarterback to ever pick up the pigskin. So please, again, do not fall for the bait. Juju, am I right?
You're right. Andereisha shoot a video like Shug Knight that one time. Are you tired of your wide receiver one being a diva? All in the videos. hollering at your quarterback on the sidelines. Come to death row. None of that happened over here, man. Be damned.
That's next crazy, question, man. Next question. What we got?
AJ Brown and Tyreek Hill insinuated on Twitter that they would be kicked out of the league if they yelled at the coach the way Travis Kelce exploded at Andy Reid. Facts or cap?
Oh man, this might be facts too, bro. I was watching. My son is 11. He's turning 12 tomorrow. Actually, shout out to Austin. Happy birthday.
Hey.
But we were watching the game, and we're big Travis Kelce fans. Travis Kelce is my man. I'm still a huge Travis Kelce fan, but he's an impressionable kid. That shit matters to him. When he was watching the game, he was like, "Ah, man, I don't want Travis Kelce to win." And that is the key. You know, like that stuff matters. And I was watching it. Damn. I didn't care as much, but I did think to myself, I can't imagine if Stephon Diggs did that to the head coach in the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I can't imagine if Tyreek Hill or A.J. Brown went and yelled and almost knocked the head coach over. Now, they have a great relationship, Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, so it is a little bit different. But on the surface, without that context, absolutely, A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill would be sitting in the same jail that Roger Goodell was in if Greenlaw would have tore his Achilles on a turf field. They would all be in the clink at the same time, and we'd be wearing – Free Brown healing Goodell shirts on this podcast at the moment, Juju.
Right. And then 49ers, bless their hearts. They was before the games last 2 weeks. Oh, my God. I hate to do this to my sister. We love Natalie, bro.
We but, do.
You know, before the game, she tweeting out, a ladybug just landed on my damn knee. You know what that means. Boy, y'all had the unluckiest Super Bowl in the history of the world. Well, I'm neither here nor there. I'm going to move on. On Twitter, Will Compton wrote, "The NFL is basically the WWE now. All scripted, fixed. They pick who they want to win, and it's all for entertainment. And honestly, I don't even know why I watch or care so much. It's all fake. Facts or cap?"
That is cap, number one. And it's also cap that this is even a topic. Like, you got to know Will Compton's brand. He wants to stir up trouble. He's a former Raider, so he wants to discredit anything the Chiefs do. That has context. He's also one of the biggest clowns in NFL history. And I don't mean that as a diss. I mean that as a literal class clown. The dude is ridiculous on so many levels. He is hilarious. The NFL is not WWE. Now, I don't know. There's still human error in places. I don't know who the refs want to win in the game.
Right.
I know I typically have teams that I root for. I don't know if it will come through in my work. I can't speak to that. But as someone who played in the NFL and was a part of multiple losing seasons, 1-15 level seasons, I would not have signed up for the script. Okay? Yeah. That is just me. So that's all I can say, Juju.
Moving on. Legendary Chargers tight end Antonio Gates, who played 16 years and whose 116 touchdown receptions are the most by a tight end in the NFL history, was not named a first ballot Hall of Famer. Facts or cap? The commission got this wrong.
This is the hardest one, I think. I'm going to go with cap. Not because Antonio Gates isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is. He should be. But even looking at the names that got in, I don't know who you take out to put him in over. Dwight Freeney, that feels like a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. Andre Johnson, I mean, he was one of the most dominant receivers of this generation for a very long time. Julius Peppers, dominant.
Right.
Patrick Willis. I mean, Devin Hester revolutionized the returner position.
Right.
You know, like this is, so it's not that I don't think Antonio Gates is good enough to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He should have been. But the reality is you only got 5 spots. I don't know.
It's hard. He one of them guys, bro, because he's solid, but you put him up against these flashy, flashy guys, it's hard to be like, oh, yeah, the algae crumplers of the world. Like, yeah, they mad.
Nah, for sure. You know, and the Devin Hester one, like, I'm glad he got it. I was hoping he got in because you can't really tell the NFL story without him. He was dominant at a position that typically doesn't affect the game in that way. And I would even say, here goes my take on returners in the NFL and also just in general, watching that, like, 49ers game.
Yeah.
We should just do away with returners. Punt returners. I think I want to coach, and I got this from a buddy of mine, and I agree with him. We should just get rid of punt returners. I would rather them get an extra roster spot for the punt returner somewhere else. They would just rush an extra guy on the punt, let the ball land where it lands, either try to block the punt or just let the ball land and just take over because it's too high risk.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you catch a punt and it turns into like 5-yard return every one every 8, 9, 10, 12 games. You may score a touchdown on it. Most returners aren't Devin Hester. So unless you have a Devin Hester style and ability returner, I would say don't put a punt returner back there. Just go for a block every time. Make them block it. Force the punt to not be as good. And you're probably landing in the same space. And it's also safer because at the end of every possession, you'll walk away with the football.
Right. Because more people get hurt on them punt returns than any other thing, bro. It'd be seen. People just blocking on the sideline, pull up, or just the angle. So, yeah, you're right, bro. It's totally barbaric. That person's computer has to run at such a high speed. That's why Devin Hester getting in the Hall of Fame as that, you already know his computer is what you were talking about earlier with Patrick Mahomes.
It's at a whole different level. And I will say, Juju, I don't care about it being barbaric.
Okay.
And I think that's another point that I feel like it's lost on a lot of the media.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care about it being barbaric. You got to understand, this is football players. This is who we are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like it's not something for everybody to understand, but I can't stress enough. Like, I have no problem with physicality and it's just who I've always been. It's just, and every football player I know is the same way. Like, we don't want to get hurt.
Right.
We're okay with it. We don't want to fight. But we're okay with it. Like, and sometimes we do want to fight. And I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. There's been times I've wanted to get hurt.
Oh damn. Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. The situation is it's funny because I would be in on teams and we would have a rookie undrafted free agent. Okay.
Yeah.
Undrafted free agent. And you go to training camp with like 90 guys. There's only 53 guys that can make the team. And so there's certain guys coming in, like you are a practice dummy. Not only will you not make this team, you will bounce around to multiple teams and you will never make the teams because you just don't got what it takes. And there have been multiple times where that kid, I've watched him break an ankle, pull something, do this. And it's like, and they're so devastated because we're all like for this quest. But me and my graduate level brain of knowing how this business works and seeing certain abilities, I say, buddy, you just got a $300,000 check that you were not going to get. That was the best ankle break of your life. Congratulations, my friend. You are now a $100,000 heir. But all right, what we got next, man? I'm giving too many codes away here, bro.
Right, too many secrets.
Too many secrets.
On a podcast, Max Crosby said that John Gruden threatened to cut him because he was swatting too many balls in practice. Is that facts or cap?
That's facts. I can see John Gruden doing that. The way John Gruden coaches, it's like because they want their offense to go, and like when you're in practices, they will tell you like don't bat balls down. Especially, I don't know if he might have been on the scout team. Of something, right? And so, like when the offense is out there, they're trying to get a rhythm going, and the scout team is you just stay out, you give them a look, but you stay out of the way. Like they don't want you to actually make plays. That's not how practice works.
Yeah.
Like you try to get a rhythm, you try to do things. So I can definitely see him continuing to swap balls down, trying to make a name for himself, and the offensive coordinator slash head coach getting pissed off about it. Especially how John Gruden is. He is a very old school way of coach where he doesn't give a damn about any of that. All he cares is about what he cares about, which is why, I question whether or not he could coach in this era, but that does not surprise me at all. And I would almost guarantee that that's the truth.
Yeah, he does have an old school way of seeing and doing things. Neither here nor there. According to the internet, since 2012, no team has lost to Kirk Cousins in a regular season and has won the Super Bowl that same year.
Yeah.
Facts are cap. The Cousins curse is real.
No, I don't think it's a curse. I think it just says what kind of team you are, man. You can't be out here losing to Kirk Cousins and think you're going to horse the Lombardi or the Lambo, as we call it here on the Tomahawk Show. You can't be hoisting the Lambo here and losing to Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's a curse. I think that's more of a litmus test. Like, oh, damn, we ain't got it. And that's no shout out. That's no knock to Kirk. Kirk is a great quarterback, but Kirk has always been like quarterback number 15 in the league. Like it's damn, like if you got a quarterback below Kirk Cousins, you probably don't got a guy. If you got a quarterback above Kirk Cousins, you got a chance. If you put the right guys around him, they could win a Super Bowl. Kirk is that line. So that's just the reality of who Kirk Cousins is. I say no disrespect, but that might sound a little disrespectful, huh?
I'm about to say, I'm over here hearing it, and from where my angles and ears, I think that's disrespectful.
Yeah, it might. Okay, we'll figure it out in a break. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some extra points here on this Super Bowl recap edition of the Tomahawk Show. Welcome back to the Super Bowl recap edition of the Tomahawk Show, brought to you by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. It's time to get into some Pick Six. It's one of my favorite segments. So Pick Six is where we ask the Tomaflock to send us questions, and we answer them right here on air. We give them a shout out, and we talk about what they've asked. So I'm going to let Juju read these as well. Our first question comes from Defta Saurus, a.k.a. Gabe. What we got, Juju?
My whole back starts sweating as soon as you say you want me to read again.
Come on, baby. You got it.
What upgrades do the Browns have to make to beat the Chiefs or the Ravens in the AFC?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say it's tough because the Browns are already very, very talented. They have one of the best defenses in the league. They have the defensive player of the year. They got incredible on the back end. They're great on the second level. Yeah. If you look on the offense, if Nick Chubb gets healthy and comes back, they have one of the best running backs. They have pretty good receiving options. Amari Cooper is as good as any receiver that you'll get. Again, they're not like the Chiefs, you know, receiving core by any stretch. They have good players. Elijah Moore, I think, is solid. And Njoku is a Pro Bowl tight end. It really comes down to if Deshaun Watson can get back to Deshaun Watson. Right. That's it. That's the only upgrade they need. If Deshaun Watson can take another step and be the Deshaun Watson that we saw in Houston when he was a top 3-2 quarterback, the Cleveland Browns have a chance. And that's the best you can do is have a chance when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and a two-time MVPs in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. That's just the reality.
Big salute to Stefanski and them boys.
Big salute.
This is from this is from @Steve_Naismith. Thoughts on the Dorsey hire. What kind of offense do you expect with 4 and 24 back? Do you think we can see a significant drop in production, change the scheme on the OL losing Callahan, or have we built enough of a culture in that room to keep it going?
I'm in the middle. I think that there's going to be, I think if you take any one of those things in isolation, you'll be fine. I think what I'm curious of is all those factors being a thing, right? Like, so 4 coming back, Nick Chubb coming back, Callahan, what they lost on the O-line is significant because he's one of the best run and offensive line coaches in the league, if not the best, like, historically. So that matters. And Dorsey, when he was in Buffalo, and I would watch their offense, they would just – lacked identity. And I don't know if he was overcompensating for what Josh Allen was doing, but we've seen Joe Brady come in and have success. So that's what makes me question Ken Dorsey, is that I felt like a lot of times their offense felt sporadic. So if you bring in an offensive coordinator who wants to throw the ball all over the yard, at least that's what he did with Josh Allen, and it did feel a little sporadic, which could work depending on your personnel, but you couple that with the fact that the O-line lost their directional guide for all the success that they were having over the previous years, I do feel like it could get a little chaotic. If nothing else, at a bare minimum, it's going to take probably 5 to 6 games to lock down what the identity is. And your hope is that you can speed that up by a game or two. But your worst nightmare is that you spend a considerable amount of time not figuring it out with all those factors, with number 4 coming back from injury, Nick Chubb coming back from injury, you know, O linemen that are coming back and into a new offensive line coach and system with Ken Dorsey. There's just a lot of factors that don't typically bode well. But on the other end of that, and I've said this, I think the culture of the Browns has changed. It's a different Browns team than it was, because the fact that they were still an 11-win football team, they cleaned up in the awards with Comeback Player of the Year, and we'll talk about that in a moment, with Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, because of all the factors that were thrown at them. Typically, if everything was perfect for the Browns, we would find a way to piss it down our leg. But the fact that they continued to win, they continued to fight, and they continued to be in it under those circumstances is the best evidence you have that the culture has changed. So that's really what you're going to ride and hope that that speeds the development up of all these new factors on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for your service, Big Brother Callahan. You will be missed. Now, for the most important question that we have on here, from at Gergs, Parks Tower, the Quad, or Carter Hall?
Come on, that's an easy one, Juju. You don't know in them Toledo streets. You wasn't there, bro.
It's
Parks Tower. Absolutely. Okay. It's a freshman dorm at Toledo. Typically, the freshmen all got to stay there. It's this huge, huge building. You know, everybody got the roommates, but it's where you get your teeth and you learn about who you are. You know what I'm saying? Actually, my production company is named after that. So my production company name is Parks Tower Studios. So Gergs, if you didn't know that, I'm Parks Tower all day, my boy. You know? All right.
I already know you was hell on wheels in that Parks Tower. No, I don't want to see you back in them days. All right. This is from Jesse Unk. What is it like knowing you're an elite talent at your position, but your position's impact on the game isn't major? How do you deal with the frustrations of a bad QB, RB, etc., who may touch the ball more than your elite players would? I almost made it. Dang.
Yeah. I would think, I mean, that's just football. And I think that's what, like, and again, I'm going to keep bringing it back to Patrick Mahomes because I want to make sure everybody understands. Like, yeah, we know he wins. Yeah, we know he can throw. Yeah, we know he can read defenses. But there is such a, like, the reason why these Tom Brady conversations and these GOAT conversations are happening at this juncture is because football is the greatest game in the world, especially in our country, because your success is tied to somebody else.
Right.
Exclusively, mostly all the time. The fact that Joe Thomas is a first ballot Hall of Famer, having been literally the biggest loser in NFL history, is significant because that means they were going to games knowing, well, there's one player that we know is going to be on his job and he's going to neutralize one of our best players all game. And that's Joe Thomas, right? But typically, we're just tied together. A receiver can't be good without a good quarterback. A quarterback can't be good without a good receiver and a good O-line. A defensive lineman can't be good without good linebackers. A linebacker can't be good without a good D-line, and a D-line can't do good without good corners. And it's just like it's all tied together, which is just crazy. And you go into it, and that's where you get the frustration because every player feels like if I'm in the right situation, I could be this guy or that guy. And there is truth to that. There are guys that we talk about as Hall of Fame guys, there is guys that we talk about as borderline and great career guys that were put in a great situation. And that's just the luck of the draw. The same way that, you know, these players won the genetic Olympics or the genetic lottery, really what it is, you know, there are players that win the situational lottery as it pertains to your career. And that's just the give and take balance of it all. And the reason why Patrick Mahomes is so great is because more than any player I've ever seen, his success is tied to him. It doesn't mean it's all him. He has an incredible coach. He has the best tight end in history. But I would ask you, is Mahomes the same person without Kelsey? I don't think so. So there is some element to that, but he's still pretty good for sure. Is Kelsey the same tight end if he gets drafted and has to play with Johnny Manziel? I don't know. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
That one. I can answer that one for you.
He's still a great tight end. He's still an incredible tight end. He's still a Hall of Fame caliber. But is he to the level that we've seen? I don't know. So there always is some, like, luck of the draw to it. But there's these players that you see that go anywhere and are successful. And to me, I put those guys a cut above. I will always go to bat for DeAndre Hopkins because I've seen the quarterbacks he played with. And he grit his teeth with quarterbacks that most guys in this generation don't even remember their names. That's special. That is hard to do. So you just understand and know that that's a part of it. But the best, you know, they still get it in even regardless of who's on the other side or who they are tied to for their success.
I feel you. That's exactly how they talk about me at the Target when I'm picking out carts.
For sure.
Now, this is from producer Jeff, and I rebuke this question in the name of whoever you believe in. Which NFL team is going to give Juwan Jennings the payday of a lifetime, and why is it the Carolina Panthers? Don't that on my boy.
Hey, this is the last question we'll answer because we got to get up out of here. But I will say, I had no idea who Juwan Jennings was before he came out and said, I bet you Jalen Hurts wishes he had me. And there was no better marketing because it made me pay attention to him. And here we are after the Super Bowl. And if they would have won, my boy would have got the Super Bowl MVP. So yes. I do hope the Carolina Panthers overpay him. And yeah, he's going to probably not have a good time there because they are trash. But he's earned that. And that's the idea. If they ain't going to pay me in San Francisco, I need to go get my money in Carolina. So Juwan Jennings, way to ball out. Way to live up to the hype that you created. Because now we all know your name. All right. And that does it for this episode of the Tomahawk Show. Again, thank you to our good friends at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. Shout out to my dog, Juju Gotti, for holding it down on a two-man mission right now. Shout out to Joe Thomas. Fat Nat, I know you're still mourning. There is always next year. There will always just be next year when it comes to Gang Bang Niner Gang.
Whoa, what gang?
You missed a lot last show, Juju. You missed a lot this week. It got out of hand. And then also, make sure you check us out on Lebatard Show YouTube and DraftKings Network at 4 p.m. on Wednesdays. We'll be back same time, same place. Until next time, Juju, you think you got what it takes to take us out?
Joe Hawk yourself.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.